I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me. The Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter number 9. As we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Isaiah chapter 9. We'll read verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increases of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." I want to preach today on his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for that holy night. We thank you, Lord, for your love, that you'd robe yourself in flesh and come into this world and come to die we could live. I pray that you'll meet with us today, continue to meet with us. We thank you, Lord, for your presence that's been so real already. And I pray for that one that's here that maybe hasn't sensed that, or Lord, that doesn't know thee as Savior. I pray that this would be the day that they come to understand to an even greater way your love for them, and that today they would put their faith and trust in thee. And for those of us that are saved, help us to have a better understanding of the life that we can have with thee. Lord, I pray that you'll help me as I preach. I need your help. I can't do this. I don't have the strength, the power, the ability. Lord, I need thee. I pray for your divine enabling today. And I pray, Lord, that your word would be given with fervor, with truth, and with compassion. And I pray that our hearts would be stirred and blessed and moved to be closer to thee. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The last few weeks we've looked at his name shall be called Wonderful. That's his name. We looked at how he is wonderful, and that's an adjective, I understand that, but his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. His name shall be called the Mighty God. His name shall be called the Everlasting Father. And I pray that the Lord has used those sermons to speak to your heart and your life. And today as we come to the final sermon in this series, we look at his name shall be called the Prince of Peace. Now we love that word peace, don't we? We want that peace. As we look at the world around us and we think about events that have happened in recent years and are happening even as we speak right now, and as our eyes and our hearts and our minds go back to some of the horrid events that have taken place, as we have seen, really, for the first time these last few years, a war live right before our eyes, and viewed the events of things that have taken place, we're blown away by that, aren't we? You know, used to, you had to wait for the newspapers and the radio reports and the television reports to come through and tell you what's happened the last week or 2 weeks, but now, right before our very eyes, we see all that's taking place, and we realize that there's all kinds of commotion at home and abroad. And we look around and we see it seems like the world is spiraling in a sense towards destruction. And it may be hard for many to see or to understand that God is still on the throne. And a lot of people look and they don't fathom that, but he's always going to be in control. He tells us in his word there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. He tells us in his word about the fight between right and wrong, between good and evil. And he tells us in his word that these things will happen until Jesus comes again. The Bible's clear about that. And even as believers, make our heartfelt cry for peace. Many believers, many times we direct that cry in the wrong direction. There's only one that can truly bring peace, and that's the Prince of Peace. And there'll be no peace in this world till the Prince of Peace is ruling and reigning in this world. With the Bible, with the Word of God, and with guidance from the Holy Spirit of God, I want to look today at this one that is called the Prince of Peace. I pray that God will speak to your hearts through this. I want you to see, first of all, today, the power of the Prince of Peace. The power of the Prince of Peace. If you'll turn with me in the New Testament to the book of Acts, chapter number 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 29, we come to this story that's in the Bible. Now we see that the apostles of the Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ, have been taken and they've been told that they're to quit preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been placed in a prison and they've been delivered by an angel of the Lord in a miraculous way. The council of people in the city have said, go get these men. And when they go, they find that the prison doors are still shut up. They find that the jailers are still there, but the prisoners are gone because God had delivered them in an unusual way. The news comes that these men that have been delivered from prison and they're there for preaching in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they're now over and they're in the synagogue, if you will. They're in the place of worship. And you know what they're doing? They're preaching again. And they're telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they go and they bring them to these leaders of the city. They bring them peacefully. They don't fight. They just come. And the Bible says in verse 28, they said, "Did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood," talking about the Lord Jesus, "this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand, to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witness of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. We see what has happened here. We see the power of the Prince of Peace in the fact that these men have been delivered from prison. These men have been affected by the power of the Prince of Peace. And these men, as Paul would write later, these men were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16, Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and that's exactly what he said. He said, "For I am not ashamed." And these men were not ashamed, because of the power of the Prince of Peace, the power of a changed life, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ had changed them in such a way that they realized it was worth risking their life to tell others about Jesus. There's great power in the Prince of Peace. His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. And the power of the Prince of Peace is the power to deliver us, the power to enable us, the power to guide us, the power to direct us. Now there's another prince that gets a lot of attention in our world today. He's called the Prince of the Power of the Air. It seems like he gets more attention than the Prince of Peace. Because when we look at all that's going on, we see that sin is rampant in today's society. It's not only there and out of control, it's accepted in today's society. It's an amazing thing to me that we're living in the day of moral relativism, you know? I mean, it's whatever seems right to you, that's right. And if it seems wrong to you, that's wrong. And what's right or what's wrong to one is not right or wrong for the other. But the Bible is clear on the matter. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Evil is evil and good is good. Sin is sin. The prince of the power of the air has deceived the world into thinking that it's just a matter of what you believe or how you feel about it. What he's done is he's taken the authority of the Word of God away. And we see the prince of the power there is getting a lot of attention in the world today. There's lots of fights going on in the world over sin and over Christianity and over righteousness and truth and right and wrong. And we see all the things that are happening, and we understand that the prince of the power of the air has a lot of control in today's world. We understand that, right? We see that. We see that sin is raging. Satan's power seems to be so strong. And sometimes we look and we think it's just too strong to overcome. That's what we talked about in Sunday school this morning. We're going to either live by faith or live by force. And if we try to match our force against the force of the devil, then guess what? We're going to lose. But if we'll put our faith in God and put God's force against the force of the devil, we'll win. You can mark it down. We look and see the prince of the power there, and we understand all the things that are happening and all the things that are going on. But I want you to see, while the power of the prince of the power of the air is strong, there is one that is stronger than he is, and that power, that greater power, is the prince of peace. We look so many times, I hear Christians doom and gloom, doom and gloom, doom and gloom. You know, everything's bad, everything's defeat, everything is, there's just no hope. Wrong. There is hope. Jesus Christ is alive and well, and He's seated on the throne, and He knows all that is going on in this world. And dear friend, as we live by faith, we'll be all right. It'll be okay. The Bible says in the book of the Revelation, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, he calls him the prince of the kings of the earth. The Bible says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and is the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us in his own blood. Dear friends, he is the prince of peace. He is the prince of the kings of the earth. He is the prince of princes, the king of kings, and the Lord of lords. And he has the power to accomplish what needs to be accomplished. We give too much credit to the devil sometimes, don't we? Do we not? You know what? When we say that there is no hope, we're giving credit to the devil. When we say there's no chance for that man or that woman to be saved, we're giving credit to the devil. When we say there's no possibility of revival, the prince of the power of the air is winning. But when we realize that Jesus Christ is who the Bible says he is, that any man, any woman, any boy, any girl can be saved, that sin can be defeated, that revival can happen, then dear friends, we're giving glory to the Prince of Peace. We're understanding the power of the Prince of Peace. I'm tired of letting the devil win, aren't you? I'm tired of saying that it's all hope is gone. It's too late. It's too far past. It's never too far past. One day Jesus is coming. It's going to be too late for many people then. But as long as people have breath, there's still hope for them to be saved. There's still hope for revival. There's still hope for a mighty moving of God. So we see the power of the Prince of Peace. They don't want you to see the peace of the Prince of Peace. The peace. This is something that we all need and we all must understand. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter number 16, verse 33, the Lord Jesus is speaking. And Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world. He said, in me, peace. In the world, tribulation. But in me, there's peace. The world's going to be against you. The world is going to fight you. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus is greater than the world. He's greater than the prince of power of the air. He's greater than the world. We understand this. And when we look at the peace of the Prince of Peace, I want to see three things about this. First of all, I want you to understand there is peace with God. Peace with God. The Bible says in Romans, Paul was writing Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 1. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This peace with God is our salvation. When we're saved, we have peace with God. When we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we have that peace with God. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 14, the Bible says, for he, talking about Jesus, he is our peace, who hath made both one, talking about Jew and Gentile here, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. It's talking about Jew and the Gentile becoming the church. So you could be a Jew and be a part of the church. You could be a Gentile and be a part of the church. Amen? There's three groups of people in the world. There's Jews, there's Gentiles, and there's the church. We know who the Jews are. We understand that. And the Gentiles are those other nations. But to be a part of the church, you must be born again. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you have to be saved to be a part of the body of Christ. And the Bible teaches us here that He is our peace. And when we trust Him by grace through faith, when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. Can I ask you a question today? Do you have peace with God? Do you have peace with God? Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that heaven's going to be your home? That you have by grace through faith, that you have called upon Jesus and He is your Savior? Do you know that? Do you know that if you were to die before this service was over, or if the trumpet were to sound, do you have the peace with God that you need to have? Can you say, I know I am going to heaven? You don't get that through being a church member. You don't get that through being baptized. You don't get that through doing good works. You get that by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You get that by understanding that you're a sinner, that He died for your sins, and that you're sorry that for your sins. Not sorry that you got caught. You're sorry for your sins. You recognize that as a sinner, you need salvation. And you call upon Jesus, and by grace, through faith, you trust what He did on the cross of Calvary. Have you ever done that? If you've done that, you can have peace with God. You should have peace with God. I'm standing here so imperfect. You look at me, there are physical flaws, no doubt, that you can see. But there are other kinds of flaws that you cannot see, but God knows all about. I stand before you so imperfect, but I have peace with God, knowing that whatever comes my way, heaven surely is mine. Not because I've done anything great, but because I've trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone. Peace with God. That's the peace of the Prince of Peace. But not only is there peace with God, there is the peace of God. Now, peace with God is dealing with our salvation. The peace of God is dealing with our surrender. Are we surrendered to the Lord? Have you surrendered your life? You're saved. Heaven's going to be your home, but are you living the surrendered life? Are you trying to walk with God? Do you realize when you try to bring worldliness into your life, that the peace of God's not going to be there? You know, we're living in a society where Christians are trying to be more like the world. You know, dress like the world, act like the world, be like the world, do things to their body that's like the world. And it's like there's always a struggle going on. That's because you have peace with God and the fact of knowing that heaven's going to be your home, but you don't have the peace of God, the fact that you're living your life surrendered to Him. The peace of God is a great thing. The Bible says in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, and you know these verses, the Bible says in verse number 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. That means the Lord's with us. It means the Lord's return is near. It's a twofold meaning. The Lord is at hand. Then it goes on and says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the secret of the peace of God. Understanding that Christ is near. Everywhere you go, you're accountable to Him. You're surrendered to Him because you realize that everything you do matters. And everything you don't do matters. I talk to people all the time. They say, yes, preacher, I know I'm saved. Heaven's going to be my home. There's no doubt about that. But I just don't have the peace that I ought to have. I don't have the peace. I say, well, you know, if you know you're saved and heaven's going to be your home, you know that you've done it. And look, there's a lot of people that are saved, but they're living such a worldly life, that they're not going to experience the peace of God. So you begin to ask them, do you do the simple things? Do you read your Bible? Well, you know, when I get a chance. Strike one. What about your prayer life? Well, you know, I pray. When you say, what about your prayer life? I say, well, I pray. There's more to it. You know, I trust God for things. I look to Him. Well, if you're not reading your Bible, you're not going to have a prayer life. I've just got news for you. You're not going to have prayer life if you're not reading your Bible. Number three, are you faithful to the house of God? I'm talking about the simple things. See, we got to start doing the simple things before we get into the big things, right? Are you faithful to the house of God? You know, and usually I hit in those three questions the base of the problem. They don't have the peace of God. And here's why. They're not living like the Lord is at hand. They're not living realizing that His coming is near, but He is already there. Everywhere they go, if they have been saved, He's there. Well, if He is in their life and they're not doing the right things, guess what? You're not going to have the peace of God. You remember growing up and not doing what your parent told you to do, or doing something that your parents said not to do. Now, I know some of you in here were perfect children and never did that. You always did exactly the right thing, or you never did the wrong thing. I know some of you are like that. But some of us were not quite that way. And you know, what would happen when that would take place? If you did not do what you were supposed to do, or if you did do something that you were not supposed to do, what would you try to do? You'd try to avoid seeing your parents. Right? Like my report card one time. It took several weeks for it to make it home. There was a reason for that. Man, every day, I forgot it. And one day, instead of me riding the bus home or me walking home, my dad came and picked me up. He said, where's your report card? I said, I left it in my locker. I'll bring it tomorrow. He said, you'll go get it now. There was no peace. None whatsoever. And I'll never forget that long walk to my locker and the even longer walk back to the car, because I just knew everything that was going to happen. And I handed my dad my report card, and his eyes get this big around, and he starts shaking all over. And I'm thinking, you got to drive, man. You got to drive. Be careful here. You know, I mean, he starts shaking all over. And I got a lecture, and we only lived 2 or 3 minutes from the house, but he said 25 or 30 minutes worth of stuff in that 2 minutes. And when I got home, it was straight to my room. You know, straight to the correction chamber. I'll never forget it. I didn't want to be around them. I would avoid them because they would ask about my report card, and I didn't want them to see it because I knew I hadn't done my best. I knew it, and my grades proved it. There was no peace. Well, that's what we do in our life as Christians. We have peace with God, knowing that Jesus is our Savior. Heaven's going to be our home. We have no problem understanding that. But then we feel like, why are we so nervous? Why do we get nervous sometimes when we come to church? Why do we get a little bit apprehensive about it? Or when somebody starts talking about the Lord, why is it that we get a little bit anxious about that? I'm going to tell you why. Because many times we know that there's something that we're supposed to be doing that we're not doing. Or we know that we are doing something that we're not supposed to be doing. And there's no peace of God. Right? Maybe y'all are perfect. But I'm not. And I'm telling you from experience. I know what it's like to have the peace with God. But I also know what it's like to have the peace of God. And I know what it's like to not have the peace of God. And life is a whole lot better when you have the peace of God than when you're living without it. Life is a lot more enjoyable. Going to church is great, and talking about the Lord to other people is wonderful, and you get so excited about opening up your Bible and saying, God, what are you going to say to me today? And then when He does, you begin to pray. You're reading and praying and praying and reading, and then all of a sudden, you're not just doing your devotions, you're having a devotional life, and you begin to realize, I'm talking to God, and God's talking to me, and there's nothing greater than this in all the world, and you have the peace of God. A lot of people aren't experiencing that. One of the great stories in the Bible is in the Gospel of Luke, and talking about a woman that's a sinner. And you know the story where the Lord Jesus went to the house of a publican, Simon, and he gets there and there's a woman that's a sinner that comes in. And the Lord sits down and this woman comes to Him and she has an alabaster box. And she comes and she's kissing His feet and she breaks the oil. She washes His feet and wipes it off with her hair, and she's kissing His feet, and she breaks the alabaster box of oil, and she does all these wonderful things, and all of a sudden there's kind of a commotion going on, and Simon's over here and they're talking. This Pharisee, if you will, this publican, if you will, is talking and saying, you know, look at this. He's having all this to do. He's letting this sinful woman touch her and touch him and all this stuff. And he's saying all these things. And the Lord Jesus comes to him and said, Simon, I have something I want to say to you. He said, when I came in, you didn't offer me water, but she's washed my feet. You offered me no kisses, but ever since I've been here, she's continually kissed me. You did not give me any oil, break the oil over me, and look at what she's done. And yes, she's a sinful woman, but I want you to understand this. The greater the sinner, the more grateful they are when they're forgiven their sin. And then the Lord Jesus forgave her of her sins. And if you go read the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 7, the Bible says, and He said to the woman, thy faith have saved thee. And then He said, go in peace. She had the peace with God because she was saved. And now she's able to go live in peace because He sent her away knowing that her sins were forgiven. And now she can have the peace of God. The peace of the Prince of Peace. Peace with God, peace of God, and then peace on earth. We'd like to see that, right? We hear it all the time. Every president has said his goal is peace on earth. I say, read the Bible, not going to happen. Not now. It's just not. I'm sorry. I know you have to have goals and all you have to set these things, but it's not going to happen. I want you to understand that there will be peace on earth one day. But that's when the Prince of Peace is ruling and reigning. There's going to be an end to this world as we know it, as we understand it. There's going to be a day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in the air. And when He comes, He's going to gather the bride. All the redeemed that are alive are going to be caught up. The dead from the ages are going to be raised up out of the ground, the bodies, and going to be changed from corruptible to incorruptible. And the ones that are here that are alive are going to be changed from mortal to immortal. But that's not Christ coming to earth. That's Christ coming in the air. And He's going to gather the church, and when He gathers the church, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation. And at the end of the 7 years of tribulation, the Lord Jesus Christ and the saints of God are going to come back to the earth. And Christ is going to be riding a white horse, and behind Him is going to be the army of the saints of God riding the white horse. And the Lord Jesus is going to fight the battle, and He is going to win the battle in the battle of Armageddon there in the valley of Megiddo. The battle is going to be fought, and the battle is going to be won. And Satan is going to be chained. And the Lord Jesus is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And it's going to be 1,000 years of peace. And then at the end of that 1,000 years, there's going to be a loosing of Satan. Because during that 1,000 years, people are going to have the opportunity to be saved. To believe. There's going to be people being born. Now, we're not going to get all that. We've already studied that on Wednesday nights when we went through the book of the Revelation. We have an understanding of that if you were here. There's going to be people with the opportunity to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior during that time, during that 1,000 years. And then when we look and we see the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of that 1,000 years is going to allow Satan to be loosed. And as He's loosed, those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the way, they're not going to cause any problems during that 1,000 years. But they're going to come back and Satan's going to gather them, and there's going to be one last great fight. And the Bible teaches us that Satan is going to be bound and chained and thrown into the lake of fire forever and forever and forever and forever. And all those that follow him, they're going to be bound forever. And then that's going to usher into an eternity of peace. Now that's just a brief, short version of all that's going to transpire. But until that happens, there's not going to be peace on earth. But the peace of the Prince of Peace it honors us by promising us that there is a day coming when there will be peace on earth. Now the Bible says, and we read the story all the time, when the Lord Jesus was born, the angels are saying, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. Well, there may not be peace on earth, but on earth there is peace. Because the peace of the Prince of Peace allows you to have peace with God and the peace of God. It's individual peace, but peace on earth will not happen until Jesus Christ comes and sits upon the throne of David and rules and reigns. The Bible teaches us in our text in Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse number 7. And I know we read this so many times, verse 6 and 7, and we talk about it being His birth, but I really believe that this is a prophetic passage talking about the coming of Christ again. And the Bible says in verse 7, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it and to establish it with the judgment, with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of the hosts will perform it. So we see the power of the Prince of Peace. We see the peace of the Prince of Peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So while we're in the world, we may have tribulation. But we can, in the Prince of Peace, have peace on earth in our lives personally. And finally, this morning, I want you to see the purpose of the Prince of Peace. The purpose of the Prince of Peace. The Bible says in the book of Acts, again, chapter number 3, and verse number 12, the Bible says, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, said, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Now, this lame man has just been healed, by the way. Why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? Verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. The purpose of the Prince of Peace is to come and to heal people more than of their physical infirmities, of their spiritual infirmities. And here the Bible teaches us that the Prince of Life, Jesus, that God raised him from the dead. And his purpose is not only does he want to give us eternal life, but he wants to give us abundant life. Amen. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. That's eternal life. And that they might have it more abundantly. That's abundant life. In other words, I'm saved. I have eternal life. It's automatically mine. But now I can have the abundant life because Jesus came. And that's the purpose that he came. Years ago, in the days of the Civil War, there was a man, and many of you have heard of the man, the poet, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And he was a very sincere person, kind. He was always helping others. Anybody call on him, he was known to be a good neighbor and a good friend. But his own life had all kinds of heartache and all kinds of tragedies. His first wife died before they were married a year, and his second wife had six children, three boys, three girls. And he, in his poems, he refers to his children often. One day his wife, the second wife, was sealing packages of curls on her daughter's hair, and a match caught her dress on fire, and she was burned, and she died. And then the sorrows of the Civil War brought greater sadness to him, and it was during that time he wrote what we would probably know one of his more famous poems, Paul Revere's Ride. Then during that, even the time of the Civil War, and later after he wrote Paul Revere's Ride, another trial happened in his life. And this trial gave us a Christmas carol. One of his sons was beaten and robbed and left out in the cold to die. Longfellow was brokenhearted. In 1863, close to the end of the Civil War and right after the tragedy of his son being killed, Longfellow was said to be walking through town, and in the distance he heard the church bells ringing. And they were ringing out the carols of Christmas. And he sat down and he wrote these words, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then he began to think about all that's going on and all the tragedies. And he wrote the next verse and he said, and in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then he said, as if it were the presence of God showing him the grace that God had bestowed, the scriptures that he had read, it was like hope began to stir up in him. And he wrote this last stanza. He said, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Songs, many times born out of tragedy, born out of blessings. Here's a song that we're so familiar with, but when you hear the story of it, it becomes a little bit more real to you, doesn't it? Remember, as you look for peace, it can only be found in the Prince of Peace. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. As we get ready for a hymn of invitation in just a moment. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want you to listen to me. Would you please listen to what I'm getting ready to say? If you're here today without Christ as your Savior, the Bible says, calls you sinners. And we all realize that we're sinners. The difference is some have been forgiven, some have not. Those that are saved, sins have been forgiven. Those that are not, your sins have not yet been forgiven, but they can be. If you're here today and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus, your greatest need is peace with God, to know Him. If you're here and you can say, "Preacher, I am saved. Heaven's going to be my home. I know this." Then your greatest need is the peace of God. And you need to get in on the abundant life that God has for you. The invitation is for everyone here. And it's for you to respond the way that God has beckoned you to respond. If you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I know I am saved. I have peace with God. I'm not perfect, but I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior and heaven's going to be my home." Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Please be very kind and tender to those around you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm looking. God already knows. If you say, "Preacher, I am saved. Heaven's going to be my home." Would you raise your hand right now? "I'm not perfect, but I know I've trusted Jesus." God bless you. Thank you so much. If you're here and you say, "Preacher, I couldn't raise my hand right then. I don't have that peace with God. I desire your prayers. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand right now? I'm not saved. I'm not on my way to heaven. I want this peace with God, but I don't have it." Would there be one? Raise your hand. Say, "Preacher, that's me." Many of us, most of us raised our hand that were saved. What about the peace of God? Do you have it? Do you have that peace of God? We'll never be perfect until we're with the Lord in heaven, but are we doing our best to live in His will? Are we comfortable in His presence when people are speaking of Him? Are we speaking to others about Him? Are we doing with our life what He would have us to do? If He were to be right here beside of us, would we have that peace of God, knowing that we're doing the things that He's told us we need to do? Maybe you need to pray for somebody. Maybe God's dealing with you about something totally different than anything I've preached on, but the Holy Spirit's touched on it in your life. Just a moment, you will have opportunity to respond. May we be obedient. Heavenly Father, please work in this time of invitation. And Lord, may the Prince of Peace be so real to us, and may we be obedient to Thee. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's quietly stand to our feet this morning.